Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first football podcast show of July.
Why is it the first football podcast show of July and not show number?
Well, because we don't know the show, because we didn't make a note of the show number, you dick.
It's bad.
Here we are, walking down, and Andy says, oh, don't worry, we'll just call it the first show of July. We won't mention the fucking show number. Like, fucking dick. It's bad enough that half the team have been on holiday for 2 weeks, so we couldn't do a show last week. It's bad enough that there's fuck all to talk about as
I think there's loads to talk about.
Well, get talking then, well, Andy Franks.
There's plenty going on, isn't there? First of all, everyone's back training again, aren't they?
Yeah.
And?
That's about it, really. Well, Wayne Rooney's got less hair.
Wayne Rooney's got less hair, yeah. What's that all about?
Well, apparently he's having it redone again.
So what, it's not
worked? When you have a hair... No, it works, but when you have a hair transplant, you've got to have it redone every so many years, I think, or you can have it topped up.
That's quite interesting.
So I think that's the case. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he just realised he looked a bit daft with that little bit of pubic hair on the top of his head.
It does look a bit daft. One interesting thing.
Go on.
Al Fayed, 84 years old, yeah. And he's looking to... sell Fulham, isn't he?
Yeah.
What do you reckon about that?
He's been a very good owner for him. Fair play to him. Apart from that Michael Jackson statue.
The MJ... Yeah, I mean... The Jacko statue is a little bit of a concern. But actually, Fulham fans, they've enjoyed a pretty steady ship under him, haven't they?
You think where they were? They were in the old third division, current League Two, when he bought them. And... they were one of the original money bags teams. There's a lot of talk about how they were going to win the Premier League and how he was going to bankroll them and build them a big stadium. But I think he got very realistic very quickly. He did very well getting what are historically a very small team, one of London's smallest, into the Premier League.
Do you know what? It's one of the best grounds to go to for a game of football as well. Really old-fashioned, really traditional.
Yeah.
Good ground, really friendly. Close to the pitch. It is really friendly, yeah. If you're an away fan, you're not getting any trouble at Fulham. I think he's done actually a remarkable job there. Yeah. And, you know, so he's ploughed, about 200 million into the club, hasn't he? And actually, with that sort of investment compared to what current owners are throwing into their clubs, that seems quite sensible, doesn't it?
Well, I'm bearing in mind that they've... finished what I think is highest 7th in the Premier League. They've been in the Premier League now since 2001, and they've got to a Europa League final, and to be fair, gave Atletico Madrid a very good game, beat Juventus on the way to the final.
They did.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
he's done a great job there, and I just hope that whoever does come in and buy them, which is difficult to see where a buyer is going to come from, because
I think the problem with Fulham is that there's only so much potential with the stadium, isn't there, and with where it is. You can't make it a massive club.
If you wanted to pull Fulham on, not only would you have to buy a new stadium, but you would also have to invest in an awful lot of players. You'd have to take into account the fact that you've already got three clubs within, about 15 miles? Tottenham, Arsenal and Chelsea, that already have massive fan bases. Plus West Ham, who have a bigger fan base. Plus arguably teams like Palace, Millwall have bigger fan bases. Charlton.
And... then you look at the situation that Chelsea are in, money bags Chelsea, and even with all that money, they've sort of shirked at how much it's going to cost to relocate Chelsea to a bigger stadium. So, yeah, for anyone investing in Fulham,
in there and just continue the work Al Fayed's done and make it a nice club where they make a decent bit of money, where they buy some good players, but they also do some great deals. I mean, look at the players they've signed this summer. They bought in... Stekelenburg, the Dutch goalkeeper.
Great signing.
2 years ago, was being linked with
everyone.
Arsenal,
he's been linked with everyone. Yeah.
And he's not done a bad job, I believe, at Roma. He was the goalkeeper in the last World Cup final for Holland.
He's still the Dutch national keeper, isn't he?
They brought in somebody else who I can't for the life... In fact, no, he's not the Dutch national keeper now. Tim Krul is, that's right.
And
can't for the life me remember who else they brought in this summer, but there's someone else...
They always bring good players through. They're just
very good.
They just end up being a selling club, don't they? I mean, let's not forget Berbatov.
Berbatov, Zahar, Malbronk,
Papa Booba Diop. I love that name.
I mean, they've always had to operate within certain parameters, as most clubs do these days. But speaking of,
I hope the next owner that comes in actually, takes the club on a little bit, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're not even speaking of Fulham goalkeepers anymore. We're going back to Fulham goalkeepers. Mark Schwarzer signed for Chelsea. Great signing. I said at the start of the summer, United could have done worse than getting him in for a year.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I saw their reserve keeper in action against Brentford in the FA Cup last year,
Ross Turnbull.
Fucking hell.
He's had the classic. He wasn't
a dodgy keeper.
Well, you had him and Brad Jones both at Borough. They were almost like one and a half choice, because they neither were clear first choice, neither were clear backups. They both played a pretty much equal amount. Both looked decent but not amazing, and both got snapped up by big clubs as backup keepers, and both have gone backwards.
Well, and I think Cech will probably benefit from having a decent quality keeper to train
with as well. Well,
it
also means that they can let go of Hilario and Turnbull, and they can send Courtois back on loan to Atletico Madrid for a third season.
Yeah.
Where he's done very well. Another young goalkeeper being linked with a loan move to Spain, Jack Butland,
yeah.
Apparently there's a few Spanish clubs knocking in around him for a season. If Begovic does go, I think he could do a lot worse than go out there and get some experience.
It depends if Begovic is going to be signed by anyone, doesn't it?
Obviously, yeah. I mean, it's all a merry-go-round, isn't it?
Could be a goalkeeper merry-go-round, yeah.
Arsenal
are
meant to be getting Julio Cesar.
For one and a half million, that's a bargain, isn't it? That would be one of the signings of the summer.
But if they don't get him, then you could easily see Begovic going there.
Yeah.
With Butland staying, so it's all ifs and buts. And on goalkeeper, Scott Carson's gone to Wigan. Come back from Turkey, yeah.
Great signing for Wigan.
Well, he's going to get to play in the Europa League, and potentially. I mean, you look at the English goalkeepers at the moment, and behind Joe Hart and Ben Foster, it's a right old scrap for that potential third choice place at the next World Cup. I mean, you've got.
Well, the main problem is none of them are getting the bloody football either, because they're all on loan from big clubs.
John Ruddy, and he was being linked with Chelsea's backup goalkeeper. It doesn't look like that'll happen now. But. Fraser Foster was going to go and replace him at Norwich.
But you need him to get the football, don't you? There's a lad at Middlesbrough as well, isn't there?
Jason Steele,
That's it.
Oh, but I personally, at the moment, I take Fraser Foster. He's got a year in the Champions League. I know he doesn't necessarily play against the highest quality of opposition in Scotland, but I don't think that matters so much for a goalkeeper. Because he's performed very... I mean, his performance against Barcelona was as good as an English goalkeeper's put in years.
Yeah. Fair play. And finally, it looks like the saga of where Cavani's going is going to be finalised. So it looks like PSG are going to have both of the strikers that are being linked with everyone this year, Falcao and
Falcao's
Cavani.
Gone to Monaco.
Oh, shit, yeah, sorry.
That's wrong, then.
The French League have had them.
The French League have had them,
The French League have had them, sorry.
It's all right. They've still got Ibrahimovic.
So the French League, I mean, that's... It's a bit of a destination for all these players.
Well, you never know. Suarez might turn up at Bordeaux now. Oh, now.
Suarez could turn up anywhere, couldn't he?
Well, it's interesting. The quote he came out with the other day saying that being linked with Chelsea makes him laugh, but it's nice to know that Arsenal are interested. Obviously, Real Madrid are in for him, but. It'd be very interesting to see where Suarez ends up.
Do you think he'll end up at Liverpool at the start of the season?
I think he'll be there at the start of the season. I think he'll be there at the end of the transfer
window. How many games has he got
banned? Well, you think about it, he's got, I think it's 10 game ban, of which he's served two.
So he's got eight games. Yeah. Good maths.
I think there are two, maybe three English games before the Spanish season starts. And I'm not, in fact, no, I think the League Cup would start too late, but I think there might be three. So if I were Real Madrid, I'd be waiting until the very last minute to sign him, so he can serve three of his banned games technically as a Liverpool player, and then you've got less to worry about.
Well,
it means he'll only miss the first five games of the season, but I'm sure they've
already thought about that. I think he's going to move, isn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. And Benteke, what about him?
Well, he's handed in his transfer request, and apparently Spurs are the front runners.
Chelsea are interested, though, aren't they?
Well, I've spoken to a few Villa fans. I haven't actually spoken to Jay about it yet, but a lot are saying, well, Chelsea can have him if they give us $15 million and Lukaku. So,
personally, I think Lukaku might be a better player, though.
Right, I do think he will be. Yeah, I completely agree with you, but.
Mourinho, and when you look at Mourinho and what he did with Drogba, you think Lukaku
certainly
is of the same mould, isn't
it? Tottenham could use him the most. and I'm sure Liverpool will be interested if they lose Suarez. But it'll be interesting to see. You never know if United lose Rooney.
Well, and where it, as a United fan, I know you don't want him to leave personally, but where would you think's more of a likely destination, Arsenal or Chelsea? In England, anyway.
Chelsea.
You don't think?
By far, I don't think. I think Arsenal are making a lot of noise and not following it up with much. And I think, I think Chelsea would throw the money. Personally, I don't think he will end up at a club in England unless it is United.
So that leaves PSG, but they've just
Barcelona are meant to be interested in him, especially if we get in Thiago. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't think it'd be a good move for him. I mean, obviously, it'd be great for him to say he's played for Barcelona, but...
Actually, what did you make of David Moyes' press conference, first press conference for his United
boss? Enough, I mean, what do you expect, really? What's he going to say? He's not going to come out and say Rooney's going. He's not going to come out and say he wants certain players. You've just got to be cagey in these situations. But not everyone can be Mourinho or Ferguson and come out and give a big blustering press conference. So I think he did fine.
I agree, but he's going to have to. He's going to have to take control of those press situations a little better.
Well, I think he will. I mean, I don't think there was a lot to take control of there. I mean, he's shown when he's at Everton, he's had strops before.
He'll be fine. I'm not saying. I think he'll deal with it all right. Mm. But he'll develop a bit of a character over time, won't he? Now that he's United boss. What about? I heard. Maybe I'm wrong. Did Mario Gomez go to Fiorentina?
I think he was on the verge. I don't know if it's been completed.
I mean, Fiorentina, you'd think that there'd be bigger clubs in for him.
I think Fiorentina finished fourth last year in Italy. So they're in the Europa League. They didn't enter the Champions League.
So basically it puts them in the sort of ilk as Spurs.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you would say that.
But I mean, he's...
But his family are Italian. His parents, I think, are Italian. He was raised in Germany, hence why he plays for them. So, or it might be Spanish, actually. I always get them countries mixed up.
Doesn't matter.
I think his lineage is Italian, so... Yeah, I was surprised.
I just think he's a good player.
There'll be a lot of money and a nice lifestyle. Living in Florence could be a lot worse.
I think he's got absolutely everything that the Premiership would require of a big striker. You know, he's not scared of a fight, is he? Scores goals, really good in the air. Yeah. Not a bad touch.
Yeah. Well, did you see...
I was surprised no one was in for him.
Well, apparently Chelsea were, and City, but the heart wants what it wants, doesn't it? Did you see, moving on, the excellent picture in the papers of Fergie's fledglings out on the town?
Ah.
Absolutely fantastic. With the exception
dress sense is something that none of them have got other than Beckham, is it?
I don't know about that.
Phil Neville looked like he was going to a job interview.
No, we're talking about Phil Neville looks like he just clocked off at the call centre.
Yeah.
Gary Neville looked like he'd seen someone across the road who was about to spark out.
Nicky Butt looks like he's been released from jail.
Nicky Butt looks like he's out 7 days self-catering in Magaluf. Paul Scholes looks like he wants to get down the pub just so he can have something to eat.
Yeah.
And Beckham looked like he'd left a wedding ring at home.
Yeah.
Giggs?
Did you mention Giggs there?
Giggs has left a wedding ring at home, so...
And what about Terry Cook? Where is he?
Terry Cook, he couldn't come out. Family do.
Too busy working in America.
He is, yeah. He's
some
working for a
sports marketing agency, yeah.
Fair enough. You can't always succeed. It does always make me laugh when they recreate that photo when Terry Cook's not there. I feel a bit bad for the kid.
Well, he had an alright career, didn't he? Played for, Sunderland, Wrexham and
City. He did very
Azerbaijan.
Well. We actually loaned him to City. It's one of the few transfers directly between the two clubs. And he did very well in America, where I think he got into the MLS All-Star team ahead of Beckham and he...
Well, he played in the team that beat Beckham's...
4-0.
Yeah.
Colorado Rapids. Yeah. So he didn't have a bad career. I think he was hit by injuries a lot at United, and he was also hit by the fact Beckham was better than anyone expected, and Karol Poborski was signed.
Karol Poborski. What a legend. And Nani leaving your place?
Looks likely. It's a shame. Actually, it really annoyed me. I don't know if anyone listening reads Football 365, but I wrote into the mailbox this morning because I am fucking sick of United fans slagging off Ashley Young.
Really?
Now, I know Ashley Young isn't necessarily the most likeable of players.
I don't think many England fans like him either.
But Well, I don't get that either, because he was our best player in 2011 for England. Well, yeah, he scored a load of goals. He was crap at, the Euros, but outside of that, he has been fairly consistent for England. Likewise for United, he's had quite a few injuries, and he dives a bit.
But for the record, I don't hate him.
Oh, no, I know.
I do hate him for his diving. I think
any player dives. You don't hear people slagging off. They've all dived in the place. Rooney, Giggs has dived in the past.
No, but they've never made a habit of it.
But Ashley Young, well, I suppose he has made more of a habit, but Nani doesn't get the stick that Ashley Young gets. And Nani made it. Ronaldo didn't. I know Ronaldo was a lot better.
Nani's pathetic, the way that he rolls around on the floor.
But it just really winds me up. And the amount of United fans who say, oh, look at how much worse he is than Kagawa. Kagawa did fuck all last season. He looks a lot better player, and I happen to love him. I think he's going to be fantastic. But he did fuck all last season.
I don't think he's got what it takes for the Premiership.
I definitely think he did. He's a fantastic footballer. I think played in the right position and with a few less injuries, as he showed at times last season, he will be a big difference maker for United. But going back to Ashley Young, it's ridiculous. People don't like him as a person. That's fine. But the amount of United fans who just spit vitriol at him. He wasn't relatively that expensive. 15 million compared to a lot of players. He's done a lot better. He's putting some great performances in big games.
Especially at the time, 15 million was good money for a player, British player,
a player,
an England international.
One young player of the year.
I'll give him that.
But, sorry, it's just my 2 cents. It really annoys me that he seems to be a player Villa fans hate.
There's not a lot of Villa fans who liked him when he played for Villa either.
He was far and away their best player, and I think he is. He's a very good player. He's not good enough to start for United, don't get me wrong, but he's a great squad player to have, and I just wish United fans would get off his back.
Is Nani your best winger, though?
When he's played on the right wing, by a mile, yeah.
And I think it's a shame that he's going to end up at some crappy Russian club.
He's going to get the money, isn't he? But the problem is he's not consistent enough. Likewise, I think
Arsenal were been linked with him for ages, and now they're not even.
Yeah, but again, Arsenal don't fancy him, and he don't suit Arsenal's style. They don't
going forward.
They don't really play that wide, though.
No.
But I think on his day, Ashley Young's our second best winger. But the problem is with both of them, their day isn't enough. And last season, Valencia's wasn't either.
So, well, he had problems with injury, didn't he? So.
But.
Well, Paulinho's gone to Spurs, isn't he? Finally done that. That's the deal that's been done. And apparently, Esso Okotu has come out in the papers saying, who is he? He's never heard of him.
Well, that's Asu Okotu. He doesn't like football.
No, he doesn't like hairstyles either, does he?
Bless him. I like Asu.
Well, he doesn't like getting his hair cut.
He's a good lad.
He is a good lad.
But,
you mentioned that you wanted to sort of have a little bit of a focus on unsung heroes.
Well, no. I think, given that there's football to talk about, and Tim Bevan's been banging on about it for bloody ages, we should finally talk about unsung heroes.
Can I just make a start on this then?
Go on.
Can we define what an unsung hero is?
It's hard. I've got a definition here.
If you're going to define what an unsung hero is according to a dictionary,
yeah,
it's a person who makes a substantive yet unrecognised contribution, a person whose bravery is unknown or unacknowledged.
Yeah.
So for me, really, if you're going to take that literally, then no one in the modern game is unacknowledged or unknown, so you've got to look at a grassroots level.
Well, I don't think necessarily. I think it's all relative. I think for me, the definition would be not getting the credit they deserve for the amount that they put in. So,
yeah, but that debate's a bit thin, isn't it? Because,
well, not really, because there are a lot of footballers.
I'm sure you're going to stun me with some great examples.
One of which, say, is Mark Schwarzer, who's been a very good goalkeeper in the Premier League for 15 years now. And yet, if you asked anyone to put a list of
He's never gone unacknowledged for being a decent keeper. That's why Chelsea have signed him at 40 years old.
But he has, relatively. If you were to put list of, say, the top 10 goalkeepers over the last 15 years, I don't think most people would remember Mark Schwarzer. That's not to say he shouldn't be in there, not to say he wouldn't be in there when people thought about it, but it's the sort of thing that people would say, oh, Shay Given, and they would say, oh, Brad Friedel. But Mark Schwarzer's did much the same job for many years with a mid-range Premier League club without getting the credit. So, like I said, it's all relative. If you want to talk about some kid in some under-9s team, that's fine.
Well, I don't, actually.
Well, what do you want to talk about then?
Well, I just think that it's a flawed perspective on looking at players in football, because the modern game especially, I mean, maybe you go back to, you know, when football wasn't in the sort of limelight that it's in now, but personally, I mean, there's no one... Look, if you're playing well and you're doing your job, then you get recognition for it. I mean, take... You know, it's almost like the unsung role that Claude Makélélé did so well, and suddenly it was the Makélélé role.
Some get more recognition than others, though. So, like, David Beckham, who, fantastically good footballer, did a fantastic job for many years for England. But then, so did the likes of, say, for a few years in the 90s, Darren Anderton, who at Euro 96 was exceptional.
But these are all international players on huge money contracts.
That's what I'm fucking saying, Andy. It's all relative. It's all relative.
Okay, I can get around
the relative side of things. So Darren Anderton is relatively unsung compared to Beckham or McManaman. He did a very good job for many years for England. He rarely put in a bad performance. He did have a lot of injuries. But, like, Euro 96, World Cup 98, performed fantastically. Okay. Doesn't get the credit for it, then. So it's all relative. Nicky Butt, relatively, didn't get the recognition he deserved until the World Cup in 2002, when he put in a very good shift, and all of a sudden, if anything, was slightly overrated for a while.
Yeah, maybe.
So it's all right. Raymond van der Hout was a very good back goalkeeper. I think United would kill for a back goalkeeper like him, because he very rarely made mistakes.
He never really played very much.
Well, he did, and when he did, he played in quite a few big games.
So I nearly drank your lager.
You did, you prick. And he didn't get the credit he deserved. Nowadays, maybe he would more so, because you look at some goalkeepers, you think, say, I don't know, Mark Schwartz are now going to Chelsea, you'll think, oh, they've got a very good number two goalkeeper. Lindegaard gets quite a bit of credit. Towards the end of last season, Fabianski did, because he put in a few good performances.
Goalkeepers
didn't, and if anything, you don't want them to be spoken about.
No, you don't want your keeper to be spoken about. You're tempting fate, aren't
you? But I tell you what, I've got one that is, for me...
Out and out? Unsung. Have you got an out and out?
An overall, and that is right-backs in general.
Right-backs in general?
Right-backs never get the credit deserved. And I was a left-back when I was younger. Well, they're the two examples. Brazilian right-backs do. No, I don't think Zanetti gets
Gary
the credit
Neville.
Deserved. Gary Neville never did as a player. Everyone hated him.
Everyone respected him as a footballer.
But as a position, if you let me finish, Andy, you're being quite a dickhead today. I'm not very happy.
Take
it back a bit. You're just
terrible.
You're just being a dick.
I'm just being argumentative. I'm just making you answer.
If you let me give the list,
answer
though.
Yourself.
So I've got Alves and Cafu for Brazil. Those likes, they do.
All right.
Zanetti, arguably, but. It's only recent times that Zanetti's so old that he's got the credit. But you look at the likes of, say, Salgado in the great Real Madrid team. Never got credit, but did a shift. Gary Neville was always one of the last people because everyone hated him. Wes Brown in 2008 played more than anyone... No, when United won the Champions League, if you let me finish, because I know what you're going to jump in with. Wes Brown played more than anyone and didn't put in a bad performance all season at right back, but didn't get any credit for it. Glenn Johnson for England has been one of our best players for the last couple of years.
Actually, yes. You know what? Glenn Johnson turned a lot of... Yeah.
Myself
a lot of sniping
included,
on Johnson.
Myself included. Vincent Candela and Lillian Thuram for years for France. Gary Kelly at Leeds. Great player. Played in the top flight for years. Never got any credit. Ian Hart did because he took a few free kicks. And Zambrotta in Italy.
Zambrotta, yeah.
Yeah, great right back.
He played left or right, didn't he?
He could play anywhere. I would have stuck him in goals. But they don't get the credit they deserve, right backs. That's coming from a left back, so I don't like right backs.
Oh, by the way, speaking of you, I heard about a sliding tackle that you put in yesterday. First of all, what on earth are you doing sliding about on one of the hottest days of the year on a sandy AstroTurf pitch? You're going to do yourself and someone else an injury.
I'm an unsung hero. I won the ball.
You're a bloody dangerous fucker.
I won the ball.
Right, so secondly...
And I didn't touch the man.
Show me the scar on your leg.
I can't. I'd have to take my trousers down. They're too tight.
Show me the scar on your leg.
I'll show you later. I've got a plaster over it as well.
Is it painful?
It is pretty painful. I had to lie on my back
on a sweaty day as well. It's like every time you move, the trousers stick to your skin and then
I've got a plaster on, so it's not so bad. But last night I had to lie on my back and the missus got annoyed at me snoring. So
really?
Yeah. Sure. I kept sticking to the bed sheets when I lay on the
floor. I wonder why that was.
Just an ordinary night, yeah. Go on, what's your unsung heroes?
Well,
then?
I don't actually have any because unless you look at a grassroots level, I don't think... Look, you're going relatively, I'm going literally in how you clarify an unsung hero. If you type in unsung hero football or unsung hero sport into Google, the first thing that comes up is the Unsung Hero Award BBC Sports Personality. Yeah. So this year is the 10th year of that award. Now there you see literally people who deserve to be given credit for something they do, and they're not looking for any
credit in the first place.
I don't have the examples of the people that have done it, but it's always actually a really interesting part of sports personality. And when you watch it, I mean, it's so over the top and glitzy anyway that actually that's the one bit of the evening that's quite interesting.
Yeah. I was down in Dorchester once. I was in a taxi, and the taxi driver was talking to me about that award because his father had won it for some boxing coaching he'd done.
Had he?
Yeah. Don't know why we got onto it.
It always involves community and kids in underprivileged areas. And do you know what? From that, you get world famous professional athletes. And I think that's why that. Well, anyway, I'm looking at literally. You're looking at relatively. But I also looked, and I was on the BBC website today. It's the Women's Euro 2013, which is just about to start on the 10th, which is today, actually. England are about fourth favourites, apparently. Germany are favourites, 11-8 favourites. We're 10-1. Outside bet, Iceland 66-1.
Fair play to Iceland. Get in there.
There's a reason for talking about.
They should do well, Euro Iceland. They should do well because all the mums go there.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum-sh.
They do.
Our Aussie listeners won't get that reference to an English supermarket, but then they're probably still licking their wounds from the weekend, aren't they?
Yeah, and hopefully from... actually, can we just take a moment to congratulate the Egg Chasers the weekend?
And can we congratulate your favourite Andy Murray as well?
No.
Yes, we can. Fantastic.
No. Well
Pride
done,
of Scotland.
Murray. You're still a cunt, but anyway. well done to the British and the Irish and British.
I'm sure all our Aussie listeners are agreeing with us. I reckon they're clapping. I reckon there's tears in their eyes.
Well, fair play to the Aussies. Actually, I mean, at one stage that game could be won either way. We just held him up on our line in the second.
Can I just say the double page spread in the Mirror today about wilting Matilda and the state of Australian sport was fantastic.
Great sporting journalism.
Still,
that is
one game versus England at football, one win. Fair enough, Australia.
Let's see what happens. Anyway, back onto Euro 2013, the women's tournament. First of all, one of the best names in football I've ever heard. It's an Arsenal midfielder playing for England. Her name's Jordan Nobbs.
What does she knob?
Well, apparently anything. Anyway, Jordan Nobbs, good name for an English female footballer.
Have we got in our group?
In our group, funny you should ask that, I did write that down. We've got, and there's only three groups in it. Groups of four. It's a bit weird.
And then is the best third place team going to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Or the two best.
So we've got France, Russia and Spain.
Group of death, that.
It's not a great group, I have to say.
Well, we don't, to be fair, relatively, I think the powerhouses tend to be Germany and the Scandinavian nations. So England should fancy their chances.
Yeah, but there's a reason why I brought this up.
Go on.
Right, okay, so the BBC wrote a really good article today. It's on their website, and it's about, first of all, the FA are celebrating 20 years of running the women's game this month.
Nice.
It was actually a couple of days ago. But back in the day, there were some pioneers who played a pivotal role in developing women's football in England.
Yeah.
And actually their contributions are in danger of being forgotten. Unsung heroes.
There you go.
For half a century, female players had to defy openly hostile FA. And for 20 years after that, they had basically to get on with the game on their own and didn't get any backing. In 1920, when the game had been at the height of its popularity in the UK, the Dick Kerr ladies team, which was formed during the war, drew a crowd of 53,000 to Everton's Goodison Park. Look, this is history.
That's more than Everton get these days.
But in 1921, rather than celebrate and build on that success, the FA banned women's football from being played at any affiliated venues.
and why, this was the quote, the game of football is quite unsuitable for females and ought not to be encouraged. That was the reason that was given. And there, well, and then you look at, not that there are household names or anything, but then you look at the people who have actually pioneered and carried on and brought women's football on in the country. There you go. Go on the BBC and have a look at the story. It's quite interesting. There's a woman called Sue Lopez who basically fell in love with the game when she found an old pair of boots in the garden shed. And there's another lady called Sylvia Gore who actually flew... Well, she played for Manchester Corinthians in the 1950s. She travelled to South America when she was 13.
Did she found Corinthians?
No.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
She was known as the Dennis Law of women's football.
The Dennis Law of and women's football.
She once scored 134 goals in one season.
She could have done a job for City back in those days.
Mate, I mean, these women... They were, you know, the pioneers of the women's game.
And they were, and I suppose they really are unsung heroes.
Well, they are really unsung heroes.
If anything, we're the unsung heroes of football, I would say.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've talked a load of bullshit for...
half an hour or so.
Probably about half an hour. And, actually, like, 31 minutes.
31 minutes, and I think that'll probably do us for this week.
Yeah, we'll be back with other people next week. Well, to talk about nothing.
Necessarily. I'm not sure how long everyone's on holiday, so we will be back in the next few weeks, I would say.
What we would ask is that if anyone's got an idea of what they want us to talk about,
send it through.
We'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Have a lovely, lovely summer's week. Time.
You know the usual stuff, but there's nothing on the website, and everyone's on holiday, so there's not much on Twitter either. So enjoy. Enjoy the sunshine.
Bye.
And we will see you soon.
Oh, hang on. Mike,
fill in. Put your passcode in.